Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Coach Conversations. My name is Catherine Halpin. I'm the host of our Blog Talk Radio show, sponsored by the Phoenix chapter of the International Coach Federation. I'm very pleased today to introduce our guest, Karen Sands, the Everyday Futurist. Karen is an author, speaker, teacher, ICF Master Certified Coach, and professional futurist who has been transforming lives, careers, and businesses since the 1970s, coaching and mentoring accomplished coaches, entrepreneurs, and professionals seeking to reinvent their businesses, their lives, and their world. Karen's work is grounded in the practical and the transformational as she guides coaches to change the way they think about their work and our world and shares the tools they need to facilitate meaningful, measurable results for the people they serve. Karen is the author of Visionaries Have Wrinkles, as well as The Greatness Challenge, Ageless Mastering Midlife Reinvention, and Crossing the Canyon. She's also the publisher of the monthly e-letter Future Works Gazette and regularly posts on her blog, www.karensands.com/blog. Karen is a TED Fellow, Master Coach, and founder of AgingForTheFuture.com, a resource for those in midlife and beyond who want to continue creating, leading, and making a difference in the world. Karen contributed to the White House Task Force on Innovative Learning and the Hudson Institute's Workforce 2000-2020 Task Force. She also served as a reporter for the White House Conference on Aging and is a member of the World Future Society, Association of Professional Futurists, American Society on Aging, and the International Coach Federation. For our listeners, if you'd like to log on and see Karen's bio and more information about her, you can do that during our call at www.karensands.com. So, Karen, thank you so much for making time today to share your wisdom with our listeners.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
We're so happy to be able to plug in and connect with you and have a chance to really dive deep into your background and your extraordinary experiences. So we're anxious, all of us anxious to learn lots more. But I always like to start these calls with just a little bit of personal information about where people grew up. I think it does in fact impact us, but, you know, based on the geographic area. So tell us a little bit about your family background and what part of the world you were raised in.
Well, I started off actually in Brooklyn, where people say you never leave Brooklyn. It always goes with you. So I was a Metro New York area kid, and I then moved to Long Island Great Neck, which was a very beautiful suburban community, very sheltered. So I had to do a lot of regrouping when I left home and left the nest to see what the world is about. And then I lived really all over the country, all over the world. So I'm now a world traveler, but I broke through the shelter.
Yeah.
But I want to take us back to something that's really important to me that came out the other night when I was presenting at the ICF chapter here in Arizona, in Phoenix, is that this chapter holds a really special place in my heart for a lot of reasons. And Arizona, even though I'm only here, you know, as a guest in the winters primarily because my kids are here, but this chapter has been so welcoming, and I really want to give kudos for everyone in the chapter. And this started, I think last year was the first year I came to the chapter meeting. But additionally, something happened 3 years ago that goes way beyond where I grew up, but also is related to where I grew up. I'm hearing a beeper coming through. Are we okay, Catherine?
Yeah, I'm not hearing that beeper, so we're good.
Okay, good, super. And that is work I started back in the, really in the 90s, but it started way back, even in the 70s, when I was a career counselor and what I called back then a coach for women, and then men, because men always came into the fold following the women, back in the 70s in personal growth, career growth, business development, et cetera. But the theme was I watched women especially who were reaching into their 40s and 50s and 60s, with not a clue what the future was about for them, and not the skills back then either, not like now where we have so much experience and education, et cetera. And I bring this up because it was so important that 3 years ago, after years of putting this study that I had done for about, 20 years, of people aging and of women aging and what midlife was about, which has become really such a foundation of all my work for all these decades, it wasn't until I was in Arizona 3 years ago, and women especially, men too, but they were quieter about it, but women were especially coming up to me, and I kept looking over my shoulder, and have I already arrived? Have I reached that stage? Because the women kept asking me, you know, what is it like to be an older woman? What do we do? Who will we be? What's our future going to be about? That I realized then that it was time to bring my work out even in a bigger way. And I really have to thank all those people in Arizona, especially the coaches that I met, that kept saying, please, please bring this work out. It's so important to us.
That's great.
And so, yeah, so it's come full circle.
I love that. I love hearing that story. I do think we have an exceptional group of coaches. I think Arizona is a unique environment because everybody's, for the most part, from someplace else. And
right.
We're very welcoming, very inclusive, and there's no hierarchy. And so I'm so glad that you got to be the beneficiary of that, and we got to be the beneficiary then of you bringing all your experiences into our chapter.
Thank you. Well, thank you. And that's why I came back and last week started what I kicked it off here. I've been testing it in places, but I really wanted to kick it off with coaches here in Arizona where I feel I was inspired to bring this work back out. And so I call it a conversation that matters because, you know, as we coach, we get so involved in what we're doing, in the work, that sometimes we miss the cues. And in these times, in these up and down, crazy, chaotic times, it's so important to keep an eye on what's going on with the marketplace, what's going on with our clients especially, so that we can stay in sync with the people that keep us in business, keep us doing what we're doing. And as I said the other night, with all that's going on now, our role as coaches is even more important than ever before, in my belief, in my perspective. Not only because we all need to be out there doing the coaching that we do, but because this is a very special time. It's an epical shift that's going on. And there's a reason that we have more people in their 60s and in their 50s than ever before, because we're at a stage and a time where we can bring our wisdom, our experience to the fore. We can make a difference. And it's coaches that really are integral to that process.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to bring this information out. And it was interesting because I had to kind of twist my head around the subject because I'm so used to bringing this work out to the public. And I also mentor coach, obviously, but that's a small number compared to the amount of people I reach in the public. And so for this workshop, it was, you know, how do I turn this around so coaches can understand what I'm talking about? Because it's easy to read the stats. You know, I was, you know, a perpetrator of those stats back in the, you know, 80s. But there's a big difference between reading the stats than deep, digging deep, as you were saying, or diving deep into the mindset, into the inner workings of what's going on in people over 40 and especially post-50,
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, who are our knowledge workers. And it was interesting to note at this presentation, because I know there will be coaches listening that will call themselves life coaches, will call themselves business coaches, ADD coaches, corporate coaches. You know, the segmentation blows me away. But that you can ask me about later, because I'm kind of a renegade in my philosophy on these things.
Oh, but good.
Yeah, definitely. But it's so important because who we coach in corporate, and I've done that. I was a big mucky muck in corporate life in the 80s and did a lot of coaching and a lot of breakthrough work. But, you know, when we do that, we forget that these people, you know, they may show up just in their heads, disconnected from what's going on inside. And it's our job to dig deep. And especially now, a stat that has always astonished me. Now, this was before the Great Recession, so it's only more important now than it was then. It's more potent. But about 800 CEOs were surveyed, as to when they thought executives were over the hill. And I want you to know that the answers that came back were age 40.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Now, that has to be within the last decade. You know, we've been in the Great Recession since, what, 2006 or so.
Right.
So, yeah, and you, if you think about the number of managers, executives of all levels, CEOs, you know, the boards, they're all far beyond age 40,
right.
The majority of them.
Far beyond. That is fascinating.
Yes.
Fascinating.
So it's so important then for corporate coaches as well as those who are outside of corporate to be hearing that and know that this is permeating through the coaches that we're working with. It's so critically important. We're programmed in this direction.
Well, I'd be very interested, Karen, to hear more about your corporate work that led you to this. It sounds like you started coaching in the 70s as a career coach. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, it was, I've done a series of things. I started as a science educator way mm-hmm. back when. That was in my early years after college. And I did a lot of breakthrough work back then, which gave me the courage to keep being a rule breaker. And from there, this was in the early 70s. Yeah, it was early 70s. I started a personal growth and career center, transformational, although we didn't use the term back then. And it went from 1 to 1,000 members in the first year. It was the time for this. And it was, if you think about the timing, I'm talking about 70, 71, this was the time when the women's movement was just beginning.
Right.
So it was a phenomenal time because we were breaking the paradigm. And although women were the biggest recipient or the majority of the recipients, many of the men back in those years started coming because they were beginning to realize they had some of the same inklings and yearnings, didn't quite know what to label it. And so that's really where I started doing what I was calling then coaching, not knowing that there was ever going to be an industry or a field, I should say, a specialty field coming through. And then from there, I started my own business, and at that time it was to bring women back into the workforce. Which was a very, very exciting time. Now, remember, too, I was in my mid-20s, late-20s at that point, those years. So I became a very successful entrepreneur, and then I figured, if I could do this, what could I do if I went into corporate? What would
right.
that be about?
Right.
And the thread, I bring this up because the thread of the graying of America, when I went into corporate, I have personal stories, which we don't have time to go into, as to how I even got into that work, other than seeing women and what they were going through and how they were not ready for the future, certainly. But when I got into corporate, I wanted a company, of which there were not too many back then in the, that would have been 76, 78. There weren't too many companies that were promoting women and letting them move up the ranks. We as women were just beginning to go back to get our MBAs or to enter corporate America. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to find a company that was open because I needed a fast track up to the top, so to speak, for personal reasons as well as professional reasons. And I landed in a company which was then called the Equitable, or AXA Equitable it became later, which uh-huh. is financial services. I knew not a thing about financial services.
Uh-huh.
Not a clue. But I spoke a good story, basically, about what it was like to be an entrepreneur and serve the entrepreneurial and mid-size and solo, well, we didn't call them solopreneurs then, but mid-size companies as well as just the entrepreneurial market. But where I landed, which is a thread throughout my life and career, is I landed in retirement services. And on the business side of things, I was in the strategic turnaround business as an expert doing that. But I landed in this field of retirement services, which I didn't have a clue about. I didn't even know what a pension was. I was too young to know what a pension was.
Right.
But as a result, that's when I really became a futurist. I began to study and became the resident guru / futurist on aging in America and the globe and what graying of America was going to do to us in the future. Yeah. And I had a special interest, of course, and specialty in women in aging and who were women going to be and how are we going to be in the future. So that, you know, even though my role was specifically as a bottom line turnaround expert and new business development person, I did a lot of crazy things. I mean, back in the early 80s, I had people meditating at meetings and visualizing results. I mean, we were doing things that were way out of the box.
Right.
Yeah. And the results proved it. I mean, we were a breakthrough, company for the major company. So it was very exciting.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it really was. So that theme, though, kept going up. During my corporate career, though, I was also coaching, as I was throughout every stage of my career. Even when I was an educator, I was coaching other teachers. You know, so this has been a methodology that's kind of in my DNA. When I left corporate in, I guess it was 88, I think it was, I then fell into the amazing arms of a gentleman, I don't know if your listeners will know, but Dr. Edward Deming. He was the godfather of the quality improvement or continuous improvement movement. Yeah. So it was a wonderful, wonderful, one of those opportunities, you know, that's being directed from somewhere else.
Right.
It was certainly not something I consciously brought in.
Uh-huh.
But in any case, I then went on. I wanted to take his work and my work. Oh, and I had been an early student of Peter Senge back in the early to mid-80s. So all of this was, you know, kind of converging at the same time. And I then decided that what I really wanted to do, because this theme of what was coming in the future and the graying of America, especially for women, I went back and got my postmaster's in gerontology, one of the first in the field, actually, as a postmaster's in gerontology. And I say gerontology as in the study of. I'm not a gerontologist. I mean, sorry, a geriatrics person. I am a gerontologist. Mm-hmm. So all of this came together. Now, during this time, I can't remember the exact year you guys started the ICF. I can't remember.
97.
97, okay. So, I became an MCC soon after that. But at first, I was like, what do I need this for? I think Coach U came first, right? Didn't Thomas start that first? And I heard about this guy, Thomas Leder, and I was like, okay, you know, I've studied with so many greats. What do I need this for? I don't want to hear about it.
Right.
And it, you know, I almost had a chip on my shoulder, like, you know, hey, I've been a coach for, you know, 30 years or whatever it is by this time. You know, what do I need this for?
Sure.
And what I came to appreciate, and I want to underscore it because it's so important to me, having not gone by the traditional track that most coaches do these days, is I began to realize that not only did I want a community, you know, a professional tribe, which of course is a wonderful resource, but that our profession was so important. And, you know, Toffler, Alvin Toffler wrote about this in Future Shock, without calling them coaches, that there would be a need for people like us, professionals like us, who would help people deal with the future shock. And here we are, of course.
Here we are.
Right in the midst of it. Yep. So our role is very, very, very profound. And I started realizing, you know, we need to be regulated. We need to have a body that is very serious about what it means to be a coach. And that's when I decided that I needed to become part of this. And I've been on the review, you know, for the MCC credentialing, et cetera.
Aww.
But for me, it was so important. And it was interesting the other night, I think it's Molly, is the president of the ICF chapter. She brought up the new survey, which I hadn't gotten a chance to read yet, about, you know, what's going on in the coaching field and in the marketplace, and how the marketplace is saying, hey, whoa, I'm confused. I don't know who, you know, what's a coach and what's the difference between. And it made me even feel stronger how important important the ICF credentialing process is. There are way too many people, dangerously so, hanging out their shingles and calling themselves coaches.
Right.
Without having the training and or the proper supervision of training.
Right.
Someone wrote me before I left to come out here this year. A woman wrote me and said, I've been coaching for a lot of years and I want to get my MCC, so would you write me a letter of recommendation? I went, I don't even know you.
Right.
I haven't even worked with you. I'm not going to write you a letter of recommendation unless we work together,
right,
because that is totally out of integrity. Do you know she had already gotten two letters from two other coaches that had never worked with her?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we still have some work to do.
Right.
Yeah, very definitely.
But
I hope I'm going in the direction you want me to. I'm just kind of, triggering. Yeah,
exactly what we wanted to know, because it is sponsored by the Phoenix chapter, and we do all believe in certification, and so we wanted to hear your commitment to that process and why you did think it was important. And I believe it's not such a distinguisher now, but I think in the years to come, because there's no barrier to entry, it will be a distinguisher, and it's important for us all to be certified coaches.
Absolutely.
Right?
Definitely. Yeah. And one of the things that I realized is that I needed to bring this work out to coaches, because we're in what I call, when the going gets tough, we better get tougher ourselves and reinvent ourselves. But part of that as coaches is, as I said before, is to stay in touch with the marketplace, stay in touch with the maturing marketplace, and really understand what our role is. What was so beautiful at the last session where I presented, it was really about facilitating and getting the coaches to dig in, and I'd given them some wonderful vignettes. And it got so deep, and it was such an aha for the coaches that had attended, that I was thrilled, because they will go back out and do the kind of deep work that's needed when you're working with people who are over 50, for sure.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. Because for me, the times we are in, it's what I call the age of greatness. And there is a challenge now where we have to individually, each of us, become the visionaries that we can be, either reawaken the visionary within ourselves or awaken it for the first time. And that is the role I've played, certainly, with the public. And now I believe that this is what we all must do, as Alvin Toffler was talking about. We have to bring that to the fore. And so one of the things that came out of all of this is that research I mentioned, and you laughed when you read the title, not out loud, but I heard you energetically. My newest book is coming out next month, and it's called Visionaries Have Wrinkles.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's really time for each of us to own that that greatness, that role that we have that's so profound now, and for coaches even more so. And we need to untap that in the people that we serve. So I think ICF is a valuable place to be certified and to do this kind of work. It's just so important.
It's such important work for all the reasons that you've mentioned. Say more about the Awaken the Vision for Ourselves concept. I'd love to hear about how you've helped facilitate that for your clients.
Well, I'm going to give you a story that where the title of the book came from.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and this happens to be a woman client that I'm talking about. I'm 50% of my private work is with women, and obviously the other 50% is with men. And but most of my bigger work has been primarily with women. And I'll tell you why, because I am very much a proponent of the rising conscious feminine that comes from within, the archetype within that is rising now. It's coming in dreams, it's coming in visions, it's showing up all over, and it has been coming for a while. And it's such an important piece of all of this. And so I work with women, and I want coaches, when they're working with women, to realize that this is so close to the surface. It's part of women's DNA. It's not that men don't have it. More and more men are moving in this direction and opening to this. But it's so much easier for women. It's so right there to be grabbed. So the story is about a woman who was a very high-flying, very, very, very successful, one of the top women in PR at the time. And she had come to me. She was the only woman in the firm, and we had been working together. And it was about her confusion, because she was the token woman, which of course was still happening in the 80s and 90s, and now less so, but still very prevalent. And with the movement with women's rights these days, we have to be guarded even more so. So here she was in this position. And she came to me and she said, you know, and she was the mother of two kids, and she said, you know, I just don't know. I just don't know where I'm going to go, what am I going to do. I'm just too old. Now, this woman was in her 40s. So as I started working, and of course it goes with the whole message that I repeated before about that survey done several years ago. And as we started working together, what I kept hearing was this filtering, something other was going on that was driving this programming within her. And so as I started to work with her, I'd used many, many modalities in my coaching. To me, coaching is, and I hope it's okay for people, but it's a delivery method.
Right.
It's my primary delivery method, but it is also one that I shoot other modalities down. So one of them that I use that I've modified for my own use, as the founders of it know, is a model called voice dialogue. And so I was using this methodology with her as I was coaching because I wanted to get deeper into what was presenting and what was not presenting. And as we were talking about and doing the standard kind of coaching of what was going on for her, I asked her to move into the place, and you can't do this kind of work. I share the story, but it's not theater.
Mm-hmm.
It is very deep work, so I want to caution people. Don't think you're going to go out and do this with your clients. You can't. You have to be trained to do this, and very extensively. But in any case, so as I was working with her, I asked her to go into this voice of what I would call the big kahuna, or otherwise known as the in my world, otherwise known as the dragon of midlife. I asked her to move into that voice, and the voice that came booming out was enormous. I practically, you know, catapulted myself out of the chair. It was so big, this energy in the room. And it said, don't you know you can't make waves? You have to be very careful or you will embarrass. And it went on and on and on to all the things that chatter in our heads, right? And this is a very powerful woman. I then asked her to move into her visionary voice. The visionary voice was so different from any of the other energy in the room. And it had a vision of the future and of bringing soul into the workplace, which she then did, by the way. She became a very well-known consultant in this work, in soul and business. And it was very strong and very powerful. And then I moved her back to the kahuna. The kahuna was throwing darts at her that were ripping her to shreds as I saw her shrink like a shrinking violet in her seat.
Oh, my God.
It was quite profound. And I went back to the kahuna and I said, so what is it? What is it that you were trying to say to her? And he said, don't you know? And this is this woman's voice. Don't you know? You can't be a visionary. You have wrinkles. Out of that session opened the door to us really to get into the work of what it was like to be a woman, to be a visionary, and to be in midlife.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on and on and on, of course.
Oh.
And as it turns out, of course, she began to own that in a visionary.
Oh.
And own it and wear it and go around the world talking about soul in business.
Oh.
And, yeah. And from that work, which was now many years ago now, came the title of my new book.
Oh.
Yeah. So it has stayed with me for this time. Yeah. Yeah. It was a powerful, powerful session. I did not know at that time, you know, the impact it was going to have on my own work. I knew the impact it was going to have on her work, but not on my work.
Uh-huh.
So, it was very special.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Well, today, as a futurist, share with us more about your philosophy today of coaching and the kind of work that you do. Is it with, is it that powerful work like you just described, or is it more practical coaching?
It's kind of a combination. I'm very, very eclectic because I've been on so many sides of the table, both as a you know, a high up corporate executive, an entrepreneur, an intrapreneur, you know, around the table. I do both. I mean, you know, to me, I see coaching as very holistic. I don't like chopping it up. I was one of the first by the media to be called a life coach. I still don't know why. And I don't particularly like the term. So again, there's my renegade voice coming out. I do personal coaching about life issues, but I work with executives on either turning their companies around, taking themselves to the next level, opening themselves by going from great to greatness, entrepreneurs, how to start businesses, how to grow businesses, how to attract and retain, attract and retain clients. Basically, how to create money-making futures that matter. I mean, that's what's important to me in the bottom line, because that's where our power is.
Right.
So, but I have two audiences. I noticed, you know, in the questions you had asked me earlier, like, you know, who I work with, and I really have two audiences. One, of course, is mentoring coaches and helping them get their certification levels, and that's one side of it. And now I'm coming out and doing more and more of the work that's my soul work, which is about who are we as we grow older and how do we become the visionaries and change agents. So working with them to do that and work with people. But the other side, which has been the greater side of my work, has been working with the public. Mm-hmm. And I chose to not stay in corporate as a corporate coach, but to work with corporate executives, entrepreneurs, and professionals, really savvy, accomplished movers and shakers and change agents. You know, that's what I love to do. That's where it gets really juicy. Yeah.
Sure.
And, you know, I know, I'm sure it's for you too, Catherine, when someone comes in to work with you or on the phone to work with you, now that I'm so virtual, you know, if they may be presenting a business issue, but what always comes through is that there's personal work that ties into it. We're holistic. We can't separate
right.
it. You know, whenever that's the one complaint I have, I hope I don't offend anybody, about ICF is the CRS, is that you have to, you know, segment yourself so finely, and I don't believe that that's really what our work is about. Yes, if you're in a corporate setting and if you never worked with in a corporation, yes, I doubt that you should be considered a corporate coach. If you've never started or run a business, no, you shouldn't be coaching business people.
Right.
But all of the people that come into our world have a whole spectrum, and we need to coach to the whole spectrum, not to one little slice of it. I can't tell you the number of stories, and I'm sure you have them too, where someone comes with one issue, but it's really a whole other issue that's really at the root.
Of course, almost always.
Yeah.
Don't you find? Almost always, because they can't always articulate.
Exactly.
That they're not satisfied with their results or they're not happy, but they can't articulate really what the issue is.
Exactly. But let me go back to what I think you were also digging for was my view as a futurist. And that's why I quoted Alvin Toffler relative to Future Shock, because I so agree with this. I mean, I'm committed to this, is that we will be needed more and more and more, because the ethical shift that we're in, some people call it the great transition, the great turning, the great shift. I mean, there's all different terms. We're all talking about an ethical shift. And if for anybody that understands, and I hope we dig into it more as coaches, is systems theory, is that we are in a system, both personally and collectively, that's going through a shakedown.
Yeah.
And out of that shakedown, my belief is, and has been for decades, is that we are coming into a very positive emergence. Mm-hmm. And as Buckminster Fuller, one of my also great teachers, I can paraphrase it, is that emergence comes from emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So who else to birth us, to midwife us through this, but coaches? I mean, we are so perfectly, we're perfect for this role.
Right.
And so I think the future of coaches is enormous. But I will caveat it with, if we are unregulated and contained as a field, I worry a great deal about it.
If we are
certifying, like this woman I mentioned, MCCs, our most prestigious level, if we're certifying them without them going through the protocol that's necessary, then I worry about us as a profession.
Right. Well, I think that woman was putting together her application, but I don't think her application was going to go very far because I think the ICF has pretty rigorous. I've helped other coaches that I know, and I think it's a pretty rigorous process.
It was for me, as you're saying. Yes, that's why
right.
this threw me. I was like, what? But
right.
but let me go back. So the future of coaches, because of how fast things are moving, and that we're not trained to not only not understand change and transition, but we're not taught to embrace it and go with it in terms of being, whether it's a CEO or, you know, of a big international company, or whether it's of a small solo entrepreneur. We need coaches. We need coaches there to guide us through this time of change. And it's going to be up and down and up and down before it gets to any new epical time.
Right.
You know, it's just major.
Right. Everything evolves.
Yes, yeah. The other piece of it, because of the market that I adore in terms of the public and serving that market, is because there are so many moving into this, you know, post 40 and especially post 50 time. These are the people that are going to be the new entrepreneurs. If they're not already, their second, third, and fourth careers will be as entrepreneurs. You know, whether we're talking about people who are on major boards now and are then leaving to do their own thing, or whether they're still in corporate or they've left, you know, or they're a retired teacher, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
These are the people that are going to be, you know, revving up our economy. And who are they going to need? They're going to need coaches to move them through that. That's
right.
why it's so important to not only awaken the visionary, which is my work, but also the other side of my work is to monetize that vision. To turn
yes.
it into money-making futures, you know? And
yeah.
that's what coaches do. That's what we're about.
That's right. That's right. I think we're all geniuses at that, frankly. Because
yes.
It is a rare skill set.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
there are those that are very gifted in it. I don't think there are enough that understand the nuances of working with a post-50 marketplace. And so I hope that I will bring that knowledge as a futurist and a gerontologist and as a coach mm-hmm. to other coaches. It will be my gift and my legacy back. So
I want to learn more about that, but I want to announce our telephone number in case people want to, our listeners, are if they're listening live and they want to call in and ask you specific questions about your approach, I'd like for them to have that opportunity. So
absolutely.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? The phone number is 424-243-9638. 424-243-9638. We welcome your calls. We'd love to engage with you this afternoon and have an opportunity for you to get all your questions asked of the famous Karen Sands. So feel free to join us by dialing in, and our producer will let us know that you're in the queue, and we'll get you live. So say more about the special niche of working with over 50, and what is just the characteristics that you think, that you said nuances. What are those nuances that we should all know about?
Well, you're going to have to come and hear me speak more about that. You're going to have to hear me speak about that and come to some of the workshops, because
okay.
some of this is so... how do I want to say it? It's so subtle that I can speak to it. It's not the same as experiencing it. But to understand what are the values and the value shifts, what are the mindset shifts and perspectives, it all comes under what I label as, this is where I'll stop on it, is who am I when I am no longer young?
Oh, right.
Who am I? Yes. When I am no longer young. And that is true whether you're a 63-year-old CEO of a multinational or whether you are sitting at home, you know, and you're saying, okay, now what's next?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so many people have built their identity around their work. And,
yes.
So many people do go through those. I had an interesting experience a few weeks ago. I was with a client that's a CEO, only 58, so I think that's young to
mm-hmm.
be a CEO.
Yes,
but he said,
yes.
You know, wouldn't it have been great like, you know, if he could have become a CEO at 42 or 45 because his energy would have been so much greater. And I thought, wow, that was fascinating, because we just don't think of those, you know, typically in a multi-billion-dollar company, you think of a CEO being well seasoned.
And right, right.
So I thought it was most unusual, but speaks to his lack of ego.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I was just thinking, there was somebody I was watching, well, you know, the whole thing now about the Jeremy Lin mania that's going on about this wonderful Chinese-American boy that, young man, really, and that what he's done recently. But there was also someone else on television last night. I don't usually watch TV, too, and I was so glad I caught it. It was somebody, is it Randy Jervis, something like that, I forget his name. He's a comedian,
mm-hmm.
and what I thought was fascinating, he's received great, great accolades now. He's a great success, even though he's not your client or my client. But his story, what he was saying was he was so glad he entered the entertainment field at 40 and not at 30 and not at 20. And he's now almost 50 and tremendous success, because now he knew who he is.
Wow.
And so, you know, as much as this gentleman had said he wished he had, you know, had the energy when he was in his, you know, early years to do that, there's something else that shifts, which is why, by the way, the role of coaches, especially coaches in corporate, is this intergenerational connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's the youthful energy and the youthful zest, there's also the wisdom zest, so to speak, and experience of the gray hairs or the
platinum. Right.
So that combination is a rich playing field for coaches to be in if you're inside. It's absolutely marvelous, because we have to bring the generations together, because the boomers aren't moving out so fast.
Right.
And the younger generations are saying, okay, wait, where do we fit? What are we going to do? Where are we going? Well, that's why so many have jumped out and become entrepreneurs. But it's that cross-generational impact that's going to be very, very important in the communication. Because what's interesting with the Great Recession, which to me is just a reflection of the great transition, the great turning that we're in, is that millennials and boomers are more similar than not.
Say more about that.
Well, the values of the millennials and the boomers, who are now what I call the new 60s, and I mean that in two ways, new as in aging into the 60s, but also retro 1960s, in terms of the values of what matters and of making a difference. And they're very, very similar in both generations.
Say more about that. Where do you see those similarities?
Well, both in saving the planet.
Yes.
In making a difference, in bringing all the cultures together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what Occupy is about. It's all about that. There's so many similar values.
Mm.
And Gen X kind of lost both ends of that. They're more traditionalists as a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding the different generations as coaches, also when you're in a business or a corporate or any institutional structuring, it's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agree.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us about Buckminster Fuller's quote about emergence comes from emergency and your whole belief about why we needed this recession? I'd love to hear more about that if you'd be willing to expand.
Well, I will. Just off the cuff, I guess, really, is that I believe we needed the shakeup. We needed to, our whole, including myself, mm-hmm. all the acquisition and all the striving for. And I don't think any of those things are bad in their own right. It's that they've taken over our whole mindset. We've gotten locked in from the neck up, and we've lost that connection to our soul. And so I do believe that this ethical shift is a system in breakdown. And there's a theory in physics called dissipative structures, one of my favorite theories. And it basically says that, you know, you have to shake it up. I don't know if anybody remembers, and I can't find the reference is the word I was looking for. As a kid, when I was a science teacher, there was this, there was a story about, I think it was in World War One or Two, I don't remember which now, but about a bridge, and when all the soldiers were marching over it in unison and in sync, and it set off a vibration that shook the bridge to such a degree that it just disappeared. Everybody disintegrated, just gone. And that's kind of the metaphor I'd like to use, and that's really a good example of a dissipative system or dissipative structure, as it's known, is that we are in that place of we have to shake up. And I've been writing about this for years. People can read about it in my past writings on my website, KarenSands.com. But that shake up, that break up, is forcing us to let go and get back to, okay, wait a minute, what really matters? What matters in terms of the people that work for me, the people that work with me, right? The people who keep us in business, the marketplace, what's really going on? And what it is we're dropping what used to be a shield. A veil came down. We weren't connecting with what really matters, whether it's making greener, products or not destroying the earth, whether it's valuing diversity, all of those things. We get back to that. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean I love money, and I believe so when money goes together. Uh-huh. So, I'm a proponent of that, but not to the point at which what really counts is what comes first. And that's what's coming out of this. And people, the chaos and the disillusionment, the breakdown of their lives is enormous. I've been receiving, blog posts and comments and emails from people that are going through these changes, people that are at the very top, and suddenly they're without. Mm-hmm. It goes back to Maslow's hierarchy, which, without going through all the stages, but basically the bottom rung of this pyramid of successful people, genius people, creative people, is that you have to have your survival taken care of. So, if you've been at the top of self-actualization, and I like to take people to self-realization, but if you've been at the top of his pyramid at self-actualization and you get tumbled down to survival, everything else is wiped out.
Right.
So you have to re-engage and reinvent from a whole other perspective than where you were before. And to me, that's a very exciting thing that's happened. It hurts like hell. And
right.
The stories that, we hear or we exist or we know or we go through ourselves is enormous.
Right.
And they shake us up to our core.
Mm-hmm.
The
outcome is so rich and so much richer than anything that we could have imagined before.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's a very blessed time for us. I really do believe that there is a new paradigm that we're midwifing, especially as coaches, that we're midwifing in.
Mm-hmm.
And would not have happened unless we had gone through this kind of a shakeup. And I don't necessarily think the shakeup is over. I mean, the earth will keep telling us.
Right. Well, say more about that. You mean because of global warming, or you think there's more?
Well, as a futurist, I do believe, and as a science, having a science background, I do believe I was teaching about global warming and greenhouse gases back in the 60s. So, that is a real thing, a tangible thing. But the shakeup is at all levels. It's bringing us down to soul level. So that when we think about making a bottom line, we're also thinking about what is the triple bottom line? What is the effect on people, planet, and profits?
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be in the old days just profit.
Right. So the triple bottom line: people, how are our customers and our employees going to be impacted in our communities, and profit? Certainly, we have to be financially viable. But
exactly, and the planet.
And the planet. What's the footprint? Yeah, I love that you're promoting that because I so believe in it. I think before the recession, there were people in business that should never have been in business. And I think those people have been shaken out, and I think that's a good thing. And the people that are still in business, and especially as coaches that are still able to be coaches, I think that means that they have been doing their own work. They've been evolving personally and professionally.
Absolutely.
This has been so...
This is a very special time, and that's why for me the system breakdown, which has been coming for a long time, timing it with aging, the aging of boomers especially, who came from a different, you know, that value system of triple bottom line, they just didn't call it that then. This is a really creative and spiritual journey that we're on that ties in with the very practical bottom line. How do I stay in business? How do I grow my business? How do I take it to the next level of business? All of it comes together in a way that it never has before.
Right. And we can no longer just be fat and happy.
Right. For a lot of reasons.
For a lot of reasons. Right.
That was very well said. I don't know if people are calling in. Is that because we're talking so much or because we've blown their fuses? I don't know which.
But I know there'll be a lot of listeners because I know that, for one, you have a lot of name recognition in our community. And I know
thank you.
No, of course. And you've had so much press. I'm looking at your website, the Wall Street Journal, so many things. So I know that, that we'll have a lot of listeners after the fact. And I know, too, that some people might not be calling in because they're just such a rich – you have so much to say. They just want to keep you talking. Is there anything else in our last 5 minutes or so that you'd like to summarize, what your – as a futurist, what your vision for the future is in a summary format, or anything else you think our listeners need to hear about the coaching?
Well, maybe two things. One is the future, I think, is the most – I am so excited about being alive now. As hard and as ugly some of this stuff is, I am so glad because we were born in – my belief – we were born into this time for a reason. We have a role to play. This transformation on a big scale cannot happen unless we have the numbers. And I do believe that the women, because we are the ones with the longevity factor and the voting power, and we are now in positions of power to really, and because we're so close to that inner visionary within us, to that conscious feminine that's arising, to that archetype of the wise woman, we need to move that forward now in the biggest way possible, no holds barred, because the world needs us now. Women have to lead the way. And coaches, whether you're men or women, we need to serve this marketplace, and the men who will come, the men in those women's lives will come, as they always do.
Right.
So it's a very, very exciting time.
Gosh, it's giving me goosebumps, Karen, to hear.
Thank you. The other thing is just a short advertisement. Obviously, I would love people to come to my KarenSands.com site and to the blog, which is KarenSands.com/blog. But for those people who are here in Arizona, in Phoenix, next Tuesday, there is a living room salon that I'm doing just for this chapter on visionaries have wrinkles and how to coach women who are leading the way.
Great. Thank you.
So I hope listeners will sign up and come on.
Yes. And they can get more information about that if you Google the ICF Phoenix. Anna manages our website. Website too. So is it www.icfphoenix.com?
Yes, www.icfphoenix.com.
Yes, and you can register for Karen's Living Rooms Forum there, and it'll be a more intimate setting, so you can have some one-on-one and ask specific questions. Yes. Yes, and it'll be another opportunity to have another experience of the ICF Phoenix chapter, which we're all so proud of.
And me too, absolutely.
Yes.
I'm an honorary Arizonian.
Great, that's so great. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. Actually, I was telling people, this is just a fun thing to end with, is that last year I referred to myself, and because I was being called this by all these coaches I was meeting, that I am the wandering crone in the desert. And so for anybody that doesn't know what a crone is, it's the archetype. It is an archetype straight out of Jungian and mythology, Jungian psychology and mythology, of the wise woman. I am the elder, and I have owned it. And so I am the elder, walking walking in the desert. Mm-hmm. So, you know, come join me, please, while I'm wandering in the desert with you. It's a very special place. Yes.
And thank you for wandering with us this afternoon. I have a few announcements that I'll be fired if I don't make, but I cannot tell you, Karen, how appreciative we all are that you are willing to share with us this afternoon your extraordinary story and history and vision and such great phrases, awakening the visionary for ourselves. We'll be back on Friday, March 16th at 2 o'clock Phoenix time. That's 4 o'clock Eastern time. And our guest that day will be the famous Marcia Reynolds. Dr. Reynolds is a founding member of the ICF and served as its president in 1999-2000 and has been all over the world representing the ICF. And she will be our guest for a whole hour on Friday, March 16th at 2 o'clock Phoenix. And then in Friday, April 20th, we'll have the privilege of interviewing Connie Kadansky, PCC, who's a local coach and expert in overcoming your fear about sales. She has some extraordinary sales programs that she's developed, and she's brought that content into the coaching environment. And Connie's a local celebrity here in Phoenix. And so we hope our listeners will join us on Friday, April 20th at 4 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Phoenix for that time with Connie. And I'm Catherine Halpin, your host of Coach Conversations, sponsored by the local Phoenix chapter of the International Coach Federation. We so appreciate you listening and listening to Karen Sands today. And please visit her website. There's so much rich information, www.karensands.com. To learn more and to sign up for her e-newsletter, where you can continue to benefit from her wisdom and her perspective. So thank you so much, Karen, for being with us today, and I look forward to following you now and to staying plugged
in. Thank
you. So I can continue.
I just loved it. Thank you, Catherine. I really appreciate it. And Anna, thank you so much.
Yes. Thanks, Anna. Dr. Anna Melikan is our producer of this show, and she works tirelessly to keep us all organized and get us here on time and make sure that we get the word out about this call. So, yes, thank you, Anna. Thank you, Karen, for acknowledging Anna. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll look forward to our next Coach Conversations on March 16th. Goodbye.
Bye for now.